in San Francisco for a few days while Ben has a conference. We had dinner last night in a place where they cooked behind the counter at which we sat. It was hot, crowded, very festive and convivial. A man delivered a singing telegram to a woman and danced with a rose in his teeth. I nearly cried over not being able to drink the golden wine the waiter poured for Ben in a beautiful, clear little glass. I half considered picking it up, but remembered from AA, follow the story all the way to the paper slippers in the hospital, meaning where that first drink could lead. I was wishing I was young and able to drink, smoke, party, and be carefree. Not that I ever could. Others can, those who are not alcoholic. They can drink, and the paper slippers in the hospital will not be a possible conclusion. But I can't, and never have been able to. It's just the way it is, like the hair color I was born with. Anyway, it's not being young that makes you carefree. Carefree. My ex-husband Jack and I used to have parties before I got sober. I had a birthday party for him once in a restaurant and wore a red knit dress that showed off my figure. We were laughing and drinking and smoking. Yet when we went home, both under the influence, we were not close or happy. He paid no attention to me. The next day I had, as usual, an awful hangover. Youth, drinking and smoking did not make me happy. Yet I miss the idea of youth, the fantasy of being carefree. I am somewhat carefree right now, while Lucy and Matt are at their father's. Ben and I are in Mexico City, staying with his friend Manuel. We went to the city center, the Zocalo, the cathedral, and a museum with 3,000 years of Mexican history, and we had lunch in a restaurant with two men playing an ancient piano and violin. The waiter was rude, and I felt stupid, unable to speak Spanish, disoriented. At home, you convince yourself you're important in some small way. Away from home, you see how irrelevant your life is to the world's millions, how vanished is all that to you seems vital and at the center of the universe. Wonderful you, you're just some tourist on a huge plaza where life has gone on without you for thousands of years. We walked, we saw where the Spanish burned some people at the stake in one little plaza. In the Anthropological Museum, we saw the stone urns where human hearts had been tossed together, quivering. Ben and I kept our hands linked or arms around each other all the way through, clinging to the protecting littleness of life against everywhere, at home too, centuries of brutality and suffering. In the evening, we walked with Manuel to the beautiful plaza in Coyoacán near his house, full of children, lights, an accordion player, lovers, beggars, a few stalls selling unfamiliar food. A small woman was standing beside a little decorated canary cage, which had a wooden tray at the tip of a little trestle. You could look the canary in the eye. Manuel led us to her and spoke to her. He gave her 3,000 pesos, the old ones worth maybe 10 or 20 cents. She opened the tiny front door of the cage, under a little striped awning, as if the cage were a house or a shop, and out hopped the canary. Also on the tray was a brightly painted miniature wooden box filled with slips of thin colored paper. The canary hopped to the box and with its bill pulled one slip of paper out. The woman took the slip of paper from the bird and gave it to Manuel. The canary hopped back into its shop and the woman latched the door. Manuel read his fortune on the slip and smiled. He was wearing his sweetheart's leather jacket and sweater. His sweetheart is having a nervous breakdown in Brazil, where his mother has had a stroke, an old witch who has hung up the phone on Manuel every time he has answered her calls to her son for 12 years. Manuel drove us to Taxco, a picturesque town built on slopes, white adobe houses, red-tiled roofs, flower pots, an ancient church, shops and shops of silver. We sat near a window of a restaurant overlooking the plaza. Manuel's friend Danubio kept urging Manuel, Ben translated for me, to pass trucks on the winding mountain roads, which Manuel had prudently just declined to do. Manuel and Danubio had margaritas, Ben and I fruit, soft drinks. The plaza with the church directly opposite was teeming with white Volkswagen Beetles, the most common car here and used for taxis, and small buses full of indigenous women and children, a traffic cop with the shrill whistle, peddlers, young girls whose arms were laden with beads and rosaries, children selling chiclets, tourists in waste packs, hats, sneakers, and shorts. It had been warmer at the lower elevation, having come down from Mexico City, but now at high altitude again, and in the shade, chilly. Danubio and I waited in our peculiar silence of no common language, while Manuel and Ben returned to the car for our jackets. We ordered lunch. Appetizers were small fresh flour tortillas with hot cheese filling. After lunch, we went into the church past beggars sitting at the entrance, and Manuel, a native Mexican, explained to me the peculiar combination of the indigenous heritage of human sacrifice and Christianity. Cortez persuaded his native allies that blood of Christ meant, to these peoples, the end of red rivers of blood of human sacrifices to the gods. Yet hidden inside some of the statues of saints in the churches that the priests built with native labor were tiny effigies of Aztec gods, Manuel said. Then a walk through the silver shops, through the winding, steep, tiny lanes of the bazaar, where there weren't tourists or cars. A pet parrot was perched on a stall. An old woman was holding with both hands fat, fresh green beans. I've never seen streets like these. Ben said it made him think of Italy and Greece, where he had traveled before we met each other. Then down the mountain away, and the views of tumbling rocky cliffs, shacks, burrows, a cow, a small boy on horseback, dogs everywhere, a bus letting off a man in a white straw hat, bushes of bougainvillea, deep pink and purple, what appeared to be trees of some deep blue flower, but turned out to be, on closer inspection, morning glory vines that had covered them, climbing skyward to the tops. A dejected-looking burro with three legs, areas of house trash dumped by the side of the road, a shrine, huts, chickens, a woman carrying a transparent plastic sack of eggs, dark-eyed babies. The next day, Manuel drove Ben and me to Tepoztlan to see friends of his. He took us to sheer, jagged mountains of a peculiar shape with brilliant flowers like giant poinsettia plants at their base and a clear, high, warm mountain light. Then a village with an ancient church, narrow cobbled streets, shops whose flat adobe sides were painted in bright pink, green, blue, and with words advertising their goods, arroces and carniceria, and an open market where we found a stall of masks and sculpted imaginary creatures made of painted wood. Ben was excited to find these, bought what the wood carver called his butterfly woman, and put it in the car. Now the evening near, the light was beautiful in between the mountains and in the villages the air cooling. We arrived in a part of Tepoztlan where Manuel wants to build a house. Cows were being driven home. People were leaning against their doorways. The streets were wide enough only for one small car. Back gates of gardens with purple and pink blossoms tippling over the wooden gates. Glimpses of colored lights on an outdoor shrine. Two women, one pregnant, one old, with their shawls identically wrapped high over their throats. A short walk down a path to a beautiful big garden, a plain small house in the distance, the mountains behind, crickets, and the moist, exciting smell of earth, alive and not as back home at this time of year, frozen. A woman was walking in this path at nearly dusk, unafraid. She spoke to us in a friendly way. Two dogs rushed up, but were not territorial. An old man in that white straw hat I've seen so often was toiling in a garden. then to the house of Manuel's friend, a beautiful, rich house designed to be open to nature, behind big walls, with a small aqua-colored swimming pool. 3 dogs, 2 Airedales, and a sheepdog. We sit on the large back porch, no screens needed. In the tropical night, the moon and Venus becoming steady and bright after an apricot sunset. Sounds from across the fields of donkeys, cows, and barking dogs. Outside, lights are turned on. Then in the pool and garden, a bonfire blazes in a giant earthen cauldron. Our hosts tell us of a village nearby where witchcraft and animal sacrifice occur. On the late night drive home on the superhighway, Ben rode with me in the back seat. I lay against him with my face on his chest, hiding from the horrors of the driving. No one signals lane changes. They drive much too fast. A cow might be in the road. Until I sat up and said, "It smells like something's burning." And Ben replied, "That's Mexico City."